Be turning in your Bibles, if you would please, to the book of Psalms, chapter number 37. I'm sorry, 137. Psalm 137 this morning for the reading of the Word of God. I'm amazed at what was sang this morning. If you listen to the songs, all of them, every one of them, if you listen to them, you'll have to agree with what I'm getting ready to say here in just a minute. Psalm 137. And the psalmist writing here said, "By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, Sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Remember, O Lord, the children of Edom in the day of Jerusalem, who said, raz it, even to the foundation thereof. O daughter of Babylon, who art to be destroyed, happy shall he be that rewardeth thee as thou hast served us. Happy shall he be that taketh and dasheth thy little ones against the stone." Now may the Lord add his blessing to the reading of that psalm. Let's look to the Lord in just a moment of prayer. Father, we love you this morning simply because you first loved us. Without your love being instilled within our heart by the Spirit of God, we'd never be able to love you, never be able to love each other, never be able to love sinners, love our wives, love our children. But I'm thankful that your love has been shed abroad in our heart. I do ask you to bless those that are away from us. I ask you to bless and help Miss Sharon this morning in her trial. May you give her the grace and help that she needs this hour. I pray for Miss Cheryl, Lord, that's sick and ailing in her body. Others that are sick and away from us today out of the house of God. Brother Bell and his family traveling. Give them mercy on the highway. I do pray, Lord, for unction and power to preach with today. May our hearts be moved by the Spirit of God. Lord, I realize, except the Lord deliver, except the Lord come in great power and work in our hearts to revive us again, that many things will suffer, and we will likewise because of it. Help us, I pray, and we'll give you the praise and the thanksgiving for every soul that's saved, every family, every heart that's touched and blessed, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. In verse number 3 of that text, the Bible said there, "For they that carried us away captive required of us a song." They that carried us away captive required of us a song. I want to preach this morning for a while on this passage of Scripture and a couple of others, if the Lord will let me, and preach on the thought, lost and found. Lost and found. You know, you see that a lot of times in the daily newspaper, something that's lost, lost and found. That means somebody's lost it, and they're hoping somebody will find it. And so I want to try to preach on that, God being my helper, on lost and found. Now, the backdrop for Psalm 137 is very simple. God's people have been carried away into Babylon. They've been carried into captivity, and I'll say for the simple fact of their sin. Their sin led them to where we find them in this chapter. And it will always lead us downward, never upward. Sin will always lead us downward. And it will always lead us to a place that we just really don't believe in our heart that we'll ever get there. But nevertheless, Israel got there, really the southern tribes, Judah got there in Babylon because of their rebellion against God. And because of their sin, they wound up in Babylon in captivity. And while they were there, they that carried them away required of them a song. And they that had wasted them, they said, required of us mirth. That word mirth is simply joy, happiness. Why don't you sing and be happy? That's what the people of Babylon are telling God's people. If you're really saved, if your God is really the Lord your God, and you're saved by His grace and you're His people, then why don't you have a song, and why don't you have the joy, the mirth that you're supposed to have because of being a child of God? Well, they required of them a song. But you know, it's sad to say they didn't have that song. They had lost their song. And I wondered, as we were singing today, did you notice the songs that we sang? Blessed Assurance, Revive Us Again. So many songs, even the song that Sister Ricker sang, so many of the songs that dealt with our singing. You know, and I really believe it leads right into what I'm preaching this morning as my first point. I'm afraid that many of us, like the children of here, the people of God, the children of God, I'm afraid we've lost our song. And if we've lost our song, then we've lost our mirth. And if we've lost our mirth, which is our joy, we've lost our strength, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. It's no wonder that we're weak today. Without a song in our heart, without praise on our lips, we're going to be a sad and sorrowful people, and we're going to lose that song that God wants us to have. Now, notice basically, before I really get into the message, three things about the fact that they lost their song. Notice what it said in verse number one. By the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down. They sat down. In other words, they just lost their desire to sing. They just sat down. They had no desire whatsoever to sing the songs of Zion. You know, I'm afraid God's people, I'm afraid we've gotten there today. I think that the singing that we do basically is just done because we feel like that we're obligated to come to church, and that's what we do. We sing three songs, say up an offering, have a special, sing another song, and have a message and go home. But I wonder really if that song is coming from the heart. Are we singing because we desire to sing because God has delivered us? Are we singing because God has saved us? Are we singing because God has given us life? Do we really have a desire to sing, or have we lost that desire? And like the people of God here in Psalm 137, by the rivers of Babylon, there in that faraway land, they just sat down. The Bible said they just sat down. In other words, they give up. I wonder how many today have just give up. My Lord, I'm telling you, it's no time to give up, folks. I want to save this for later on down the road, maybe in tonight, and I'll say it again tonight, but I think I got to say it right now. The children of Israel, the first place they came to, and that's what I'm preaching on tonight, they came to Mirah, and they found bitter water. But you know something? Hey, they failed to realize that there was 70 palm trees and 12 wells of springing water just up ahead for them. I'm going to tell you, things may be bitter in our life right now, but ladies and gentlemen, hey, there's some palm trees and springs of living water just up ahead for you and I. Amen. Through every trial, God will make it a blessing. I don't know how I'm preaching tonight's message. I better get off of that. But through every trial, God will make it a blessing. But they have lost their desire. They just sat down because they had lost their desire. Notice, secondly, they not only had they lost their desire, but they had become so discouraged. The Bible said they sat down. Not only they sat down, but they wept. They got so discouraged that they just sat down and began to weep. And, you know, I believe we're there today. Maybe not outwardly, but I'm going to tell you, some of us ought to be weeping inwardly. And I think many are weeping inwardly. And I'm going to tell you why. It's because you've lost your song. And I want to repeat this. If you lose your song, you lose your mirth. You lose your mirth, you lose your strength. You lose your joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength, ladies and gentlemen. That's what the Bible says in the book of Nehemiah. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And yet we come to the house of God and we sing, but I know, hey, my voice ain't very good, but I'm going to do the best with it I can. I've got to miss a word or two every now and then and catch my breath and try to get my throat straightened up, but I'm going to do the best I can. I'm going to say we ought to come to the house of God and lift our voice up in praise and adoration to our God. But hey, if our song has been lost, it's an impossibility to do. Cannot be done. And they just sat down and lost their desire, but they become so discouraged that the Bible said that they just begin to weep. Then I want you to notice this. They literally actually become defeated. The Bible said there that they hang their harps on the willows. You know what their harps were? The harps were those instruments that they used to make music to sing by. So they just hang their harps on the willows and said, hey, what's the use? We're a defeated crowd. Jerusalem is up there. It's our chief joy, but we're not there. But you know something? Hey, they did finally get there. That song that they lost, they did get that song back. They might have lost it, but I'm going to tell you, down the road, they found it. When Nehemiah and Ezra led them back to build, rebuild, they found it again. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I'm telling you, we may have lost our song today, but praise God, I'm telling you, there's a God in heaven that can restore that song tomorrow and restore the mirth and the joy and the strength that we've lost because of it.
Amen.
That's right. They just took their music. Wouldn't it be something we come in here on Sunday morning and these ladies that play the instruments just sat in the pew? And somebody said, well, aren't you going to play the instruments? No. I don't really feel like it today. I've lost my desire to play the piano. I've lost my desire to play the organ. Well, how about it, crowd? Are we going to sing? Are we going to sing, I've been washed in the blood? No, I've just lost my desire to do it. I'm so discouraged that I've lost my desire to do it. In fact, we're going to nail this piano on the wall if we can. Get out of the way. And just hang it on a hang, take it out there and hang it on a willow limb. And we're not going to sing anymore. I'm going to tell you, that's where we're living, ladies and gentlemen. Amen. I'm going to tell you why. And I preached this years ago. We may not be led into a physical captivity, but I'm telling you, God's people can be led into a spiritual captivity. And I'm confident that's where we are today, that the devil has led us into sin and brought us down by the rivers of Babylon, and we've sat down there and wept and hanged our hearts on the willows, and we have lost our desire to sing the songs of Zion.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Now, let me give you just a little bit more on that. Boy, you see that spit on this black, can't you? Whoo! Have mercy, I need a bib or a napkin up here. Do you realize that our song is a gift? It is a gift. Notice what the Bible says. Notice what the Bible said in Psalm chapter 40. I waited patiently for the Lord, and He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings, and hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it, and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Now, somebody said, well, I'm saying it was a gift. The Bible said that God put that song in our mouth. Folks, if we're saved by the grace of God, it's not a matter that we've got to look for a song. Hey, God put it there. But I'm going to tell you something. We can lose it. People can lose their rewards. And I'm going to tell you, we can also lose that song that God's put there. Now, that's right. Come on now.
And why? No, you, nobody likes to lose something that's been given to them. Boy, I tell you, my wife gives me something. If I lose it, I'll hunt till I'm blue in the face, till I find that thing. Brother Steve knows it. I'm just that sentimental. Amen. Somebody gives me something, I don't like to lose it at all. And you know something? Hey, I believe if I'd lost my song, that I'd be a, hey, and we're talking about spiritual matters. I believe if I'd lost my song, I'd make a diligent search to find out where it's at and pick it up again, get it back in my heart again, and begin to sing praises unto our God that brought us out of the miry clay, set our feet on a solid rock, established our going, and gave us the gift to sing the songs of Zion. Now notice he said he put a new song in my mouth. I did have a song in my mouth once. Oh, Willing and Wailing and the Boys. Willing and Wailing and the Boys, whoever they was. Hank, Senior. I never was a Junior fan, but Senior. Dolly Parton and Johnny Trash. Some of the rest of the gang. Had a song in my mouth. And love to sing them. Oh yeah, just, hey, love to get cranked up and sing them old hillbilly songs, country and western songs. But I'm going to tell you, there come a day I met Christ at Calvary.
Amen.
I saw that cross on Mount Calvary and the Son of the Living God dying there and bleeding there in my place and giving His life a ransom for my soul. And He lifted me out of that miry clay and put a song in my mouth, even praise unto my God. And I'm going to tell you, I never want to lose that song.
Amen.
I remember when I was in Bible college, I worked for Addison Corporation. And they sent out doors and windows and one thing and another. And I'd walk up and down the aisles in that building, that warehouse, loading those things on skids and pallets to take them to the truck and get them loaded on the truck. As I went seeking them out and finding them, I'd go singing. Every time I'd catch a box empty, I'd put a gospel track in it. I don't care what it was, a window, door. They told me once I was going to have to quit doing it. I said, just might as well fire me because I ain't quitting. I just kept sticking in. I just kept sticking in the tracks. They'd get a whole pallet of ceiling tile, and I'd take a knife and I'd cut a little place in it and I'd stick a track in there, work on all four sides of it. They said, you can't do that. I said, I already have. Well, if you don't do it, we're going to have to do something about it. I said, well, there ain't no need of waiting. Let's get the job done. Now, Hawk, come on now. You're going to have to go along with us on this. I said, no, you're going to have to go along with me on this. Well, why can't you just stop it? Well, I'll tell you why. Because I got saved by the grace of God. Why I sing in these aisles is because I got a song in my heart. And I'm certainly not going to stop putting tracks here out. And I'm not going to stop witnessing. And I'm not going to stop telling people about God. Because I've got a song in the heart. Some joy there. And God helped us. If we ever lose that song, but the blessing of it is, if we lose it, it can be found again.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. You know, people lose the dog, they put an ad in the paper. Maybe you ought to put an ad in the paper.
Yeah.
Right. Amen. You get it? You understand what I'm saying? Find out where that song's at. It was a gift. I want to say also that song is an expression of our testimony. In Psalm 40 in verse number 3, what the psalmist said, He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Many shall see what? He's talking about the song. Many will see it. Somebody said, I thought you heard music. Well, some folks hear it and others just see it.
Amen.
Amen. But many will see it and fear and will trust in the Lord. We may be amazed. Hey, when you go to visit your relatives, are you as down-mouthed as you are this morning?
Amen.
Are you as beat down as you are this morning when you go to see your relatives and your family?
Amen.
May God help us If we're in this bad a mood in the house of God, where the Bible said, David said he was glad when they said unto him, let's go to church. If we're as bad as we are here, how much worse are we out there? God help us. Get in the book, find your song. Hey, if you've lost it, get in the book and find it. You may be surprised how many folks will see that song and trust the Lord, fear and trust the Lord, and get born again because of the expression of your testimony. I'm going to tell you what kind of music you listen to and what kind of music you sing tells a whole lot about what kind of character you have. Honky-tonk. And all that mess don't cut it with me no more. Amen. You know what they said in this verse? They said, if I don't make Jerusalem my chief joy, let my tongue cleave to my mouth, the roof of my mouth. You know what they're actually saying? If I can't sing, if I don't make Jerusalem my chief joy, when I try to sing, just let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. Has your tongue... Is it, what's the word? Has it not cloven? Cleaved? I'll put it like this. Is it stuck on the roof of your mouth? Amen. Hey, God. That's right. Wouldn't it be hard to come to the house of God and say, all right, we're going to sing revivals again. You can't sing like that. That's what they're saying here. If Jerusalem is not my chief joy, if that's not where my joy is at, then let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. And I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. If the Calvary, if the cross, if the finished work of Christ is not our chief joy, then let our tongue cleave to the roof of our mouth and sing no more. Because we put him in second place, made him a second fiddle, and he ain't going to play second fiddle to nobody, you or me or nobody else.
Amen.
That's right. He don't have two girlfriends. Some of you kids running around here acting plumb silly over one another. Plumb silly. Now, I'm going to tell you, ain't none of you old enough to even be dry behind here. You need to be took up behind the shed and have your little hind end set on fire. That's right. I don't know how that got in there, but it did. But it's a testimony. Then, our song reveals a gratitude of our heart. Verses 1 and 2 of that song says, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me. He heard my cry. I called to him and he heard my cry. And he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my going. Hey, if he's done all of that, ought we not to be grateful in our heart for what he's done? Shouldn't we not be thankful? Now, and I'm going to tell you, if we're grateful and thankful for what God's done for us, it ought to bring a song out somewhere down along the line. But I'm afraid we've lost that song because we have lost our gratitude for what God has done for us. Now we can sit and try to ignore it. We can do whatever we want to. But I'm just not talking to a minute few. That's God, I'm talking to the whole crowd this morning. Every one of us. And friend, you're not excluded whoever you are. I don't care who you are. Me included, we're not excluded from it. Until you prove me differently, I'm going to go on the assumption that we've lost our song. We've lost our mirth. We've lost our joy. And consequently, we've lost our strength.
Amen. That's right.
And it's because we're not grateful. We're unthankful. Did it not say in the last days that men have become unthankful and unholy? We're there. And I don't believe Paul was talking about the crowd out in the world. We're there. Now I want to say secondly, there's a man in the Bible by the name of Samson. Samson was, I suppose, the strongest man in the Bible. He judged Israel for 20 years, according to the book of Judges. But Samson had a problem. It was called a woman problem. And because of that woman problem and his refusal to turn loose of it, he laid his head in the wrong lap. And he lost his locks. When he lost his locks, he lost his power. And as he lay there that night, that woman Delilah said, Samson, the Philistines be upon thee. And old Samson said, hey, in Judges, I believe in Judges chapter number 16, I believe it is. He said, I'll just get up and go out as I have in times past. But the Bible said that he wist not. He didn't know that the Lord had departed from him. And my thought is not only have we lost our song, but I'm afraid many have lost their spirit. Hold on now. I'm not talking about the indwelling spirit that lives within you. You're sealed to the day of redemption. You're not going to lose that. But I'm talking about that spirit like it was on Samson, that from time to time came up on Samson, anointed Samson, and gave him the power of God that he had in his life. He lost that. They put out his eyes. They bound him in fetters of brass. They put him in the mill, grinding in the mill. I'm telling you, he lost it all, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. He lost his spirit. I wonder how many of us today have just lost our spirit. That is, we just don't have any willpower anymore. The spirit that once anointed us, the spirit that once rested upon us, the spirit of God that once empowered us, is no longer around. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say this to you this morning, and I want every ear attentive to what I'm getting ready to tell you. We're getting ready to go into a marathon that is a ministry of this church, station is. And I'm here to tell you, it is not something that we can go in there half-heartedly, giggling, laughing, and playing games about. Are you listening to what I'm saying? I'm talking about a necessity. I'm talking about where necessity has been laid upon us. It's not game playing time. No, sir. And to get the job done when we go in there, that we've got to have the power of God upon us. We'll not get the job done without it. We can't go in there giggling and laughing and playing and games and carrying on. It's got to be downright spiritual business with God in prayer, or we're not going to get the job done. Amen, that's right. And I'm going to say, without a song and with no spirit, I sometimes wonder if we'll get it done or not. Say, you're the pastor. Sure am. So was Moses. And I'm going to say, he got to the point where God said, you speak to that rock. And he called and said, you bunch of rebels. And he smote a rock. That didn't make him right. He was just as wrong as they were. He smote that rock. But I'm telling you, folks, that we're going in there with necessity laid upon us. Yeah, and you know what happened to Samson? The Bible said the first thing they did in verse 21 of that chapter, the Bible said they put out his eyes. He had no vision. I want it. If you lose your spirit, you're going to lose your vision. And I said, what are you talking about, brother? Hey, do we really have a vision of going into all the world and preaching the gospel to every creature? Now, I'm going to say this, and I don't know who's listening, and I really don't care. Okay? But a preacher said a few weeks ago that the internet couldn't be used to spread the gospel around the world, that God didn't use a machine, that God used people. May I say to you, if the internet cannot be used to preach the gospel, neither can radios, and neither can CD players, and neither can cassette players. Hey, they're all machines, ladies and gentlemen. And hey, and if that internet, a voice on it, it's not what it's coming over, it's what's being said over it. And if the gospel is being preached, whether it's coming out live here or over the radio to the folks out there. It's being preached. And faith don't come by sight. Faith cometh by hearing. Amen. And hearing by the Word of God. That's right. Old Samson lost his vision. We can't go into all the world. That's what we're saying. Well, we can't win this battle. Not enough of us. Don't need that many. The Lord can conquer by many or by few. The battle's not ours. The battle is the Lord's.
Amen.
Don't tell me we can't win the battle. We're more than conquerors through Him that loved us.
Amen.
Don't tell me we can't find our song again. Don't tell me we can't find our spirit again. Don't tell me we cannot come to the house of God with mirth in our heart. Don't tell me we cannot come to the church with a spirit of power and unction upon us, not only to preach the Word of God, but to have the unction to open our understanding and hear the Word of God that will transform our lives by the grace of God. We can do that. You can do it. I know you can. I've got faith in you. I believe you can. If I didn't, I wouldn't be here telling you this day. But I believe you can. But I'm telling you, if we don't, we are in sore trouble. We have come to a crossroads. If we don't make the right turn, we are in trouble.
Amen.
You understand them? What I'm saying now? He lost his vision. He not only lost his vision, he had no vision, but he had no victory. Said they brought him down to Gaza and brought him and bound him with fetters of brass. He had no victory. His power was gone and his victory was gone. Defeated Baptist. Lost it. The song and lost her spirit. Like a preacher said several years ago, I heard, I'm afraid some of us have lost our soul. And I'm not talking about our actual soul. Now I say this lovingly, not in a bad way. And he said, to illustrate what I'm talking about, he said, you come across some black folk. He said, they got a little soul about them. But in the same sense, I wonder if we've not lost our soul. I'm talking about that which motivates us.
Amen.
That which arouses our spirit within us.
Amen.
That which brings scenes of Calvary before us.
Amen.
That which enables us to taste of the Lord and know that He's good.
Amen.
Have we lost that spirit and that unction that enables us to open our eyes and see that the fields are white unto harvest? Have we lost our song and our spirit and become unable to accomplish the work of God and to walk in victory? I say it again, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Yes, sir. What will separate us from the love of God? Christ. Tribulation, famine, trials. I mean, what will separate us? Nothing can separate us. What the book said, and they ain't talking about Him not loving us, it's referring to us not loving Him. Amen!
Amen.
Are we saved?
Amen.
Are we ready to pray?
Amen.
Are we ready to pull down the power of God upon us and upon all those around us? I want to say this morning, and I say it as reluctantly and as humbly as I know how. I think I've gotten my heart to a place where I'm ready to lead. If you're ready to follow, let's go!
Amen.
I wish I had brother, what's his name over here from Arkansas? Charge!
Amen.
What he said, isn't it? Brother Calvert? Charge! It's not a time to sit down. The The foes of God are around us. The enemies of the saints have encamped round about us, and they're doing their level best to smother out the Spirit of God and deprive us of the song that we have of joy in our heart. And I'm going to tell you, they're doing a great job of it. But I'm telling you, it is time we broke through their ranks. It's time that we act like those three valiant men of David. When David said, "Oh, that one would bring me a drink of water out of the well by the gate of Bethlehem." He specified what water he wanted, and three of his mighty men went out and got it. And they brought it back to David. He said, "How can I drink this?" And he just poured it out in sacrifice unto the Lord. But I'm going to tell you, are we ready? Hey, they broke through the host of the Philistines to get that water. Are we ready to break through? Our song may be laying on the other side of the Philistines this morning. That's your flesh. Our spirit may be laying on the other side of the Philistines this morning. That's our flesh. I will go on now. I'm trying to wrap this thing up. He had no liberty. Bible said, and he did grind in the prison house. He did grind. But hey, notice, verse 22 of that chapter says, "Howbeit the hair of his head began to grow again after he was shaven." I want to ask him, what happened when that hair grew out? Lost and found. He lost the vision, lost the victory, lost the liberty. Oh, when that hair grew back out, I'm telling you, everything he lost, he found. Hallelujah to God. Those saints of God, when they made their way back to Jerusalem, that song they had lost, they found it again. I'm going to tell you where you'll find it. Right where you left it. It's laying right exactly where you laid it down this morning. You can go back there and find it again. It'll be waiting for you. Now, that's right. His hair began to grow. And he found it again, buddy. Put his hand on the columns of that house. The Bible said he killed more in his death than he did in his life. He found what he lost. Lost and found. I want to give us another illustration. I'm just about done. I want to say, thirdly, that we were lost. Lost sinners. Every one of us in here were lost sinners. And I think of the story about Zacchaeus. A wee little man he was. It's in the book of Luke chapter 19. There's a crowd thronging Jesus. And all they knew that Jesus was passing by. That wee little man climbed up in that sycamore tree. Because he wanted to see who he was. And I'm going to tell you, it wasn't no accident that Jesus walked right square under that sycamore tree and just stopped and looked up. Said, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down. For today, I must abide at thy house. For today is salvation. Come to thy house." Hey, and he said, "For the Son of Man has come to what? Seek and save what? That which was lost." Woo! I won't say I lost, but praise God, now found. Amen. Lost and found. Hallelujah. I was a sinner lost, but now found. They lost their song, but they found it. Samson lost his spirit, but he found it. We lost our soul. Amen. But Christ found it. Hallelujah to God. Amen. Now listen carefully. As a sinner, we had lost our life. John 10:10. Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life." I want to ask you something. When he saved you, did he find your life? Somebody said, "Well, how do you know I did?" Because the Bible said, if any man will lose his life, he'll find it. Amen. Amen. I'm glad one day I lost a life that I might find my life. Amen. Thank God. Now, and that's a life you can't lay down. You might get lazy on God, but you can't lay it down. And that is the life. Hey, This is the life that ought to keep us going for God. Amen. The fact that we know our names are written down in heaven ain't nothing the devil can do. He can bark and growl. He can hiss. That's all. He can cause us to fuss and argue. He can cause us to murmur and complain. He can cause us to hang our harps on the willows and just give up on God. He can cause us to lay our head down in the lap of sin and lose our vision, our victory. And I'm going to tell you what He can't do. He can't make you lose your soul. It's bound up in a bundle of life. Oh, I like that. It's bound up in a bundle of life with Jesus. That's where our soul's at. That's right. Now Jesus found our life. He not only did we find our life, but we had light. He gave us light. The Bible said in Ephesians 5:14, "Wherefore He saith, awake." Would you believe that this chapter in the Bible is on page number 666 in the Scofield Bible? God help us. Ephesians 5:14, He said, "Wherefore He saith, awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ," what? "Shall give thee light." And I'm going to tell you what. I was once in darkness, but now I'm in light. Amen. You better believe that's right. "They that walk in light shall never stumble or never fall as long as they walk in the light of the Lord." Amen. That's right. Hallelujah. Paul said God sent him as a light to the Gentiles. That's right. My soul was full of darkness. My soul was full of death. And my spirit was dead. But when Christ found me, three times, once for the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, He quickened me and made me alive. He regenerated me. He redeemed me. Hallelujah. And that which was dead awoke unto light. Hallelujah. The light of the glorious gospel of Christ. Then I want to say, we had no love. But according to Romans 5:5, I'm not going to turn there. According to Romans 5:5, that the love of God has what? Been shed abroad in our heart by the gift of the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. Amen. Can you get a hold of that? The love of God shed abroad in our heart. We didn't have any love. Do you realize more? If it wasn't for God loving you, you couldn't even love your wife or husband. You couldn't even love your children. You couldn't love nobody. So I said, "Oh, I don't believe that. I know some lost people that are married and they're in love." Oh, you know some lost people that are married and they're in lust. Tell anything about love. How can you know anything about something you don't have, or never seen, never experienced? You can't. And God is love. And until you know God, you don't know a thing about love. But oh, Brother Foley, that blessed day, 10 minutes past the hour of 12 o'clock, on a Sunday afternoon, when the sweet Spirit of God passed by where I was, quickened me and made me alive. Hallelujah. Gave me a song. Gave me a spirit. That's right. And He found me as a lost sinner. Now I want to say in closing, He found us. He found us lost, but He found us. And I've got the perfect illustration for it. There was a young man in Luke 15. It wanted everything that belonged to him, his father's inheritance. His father gave it to him. He went down into a far country and spent all that he had in riotous living. The preacher got up once, Brother Herbert Williamson got up once preaching. And he said, boy left home, had to go down to the far country just to ride a hog. Some of y'all catch that. Well, I'm talking about a Harley. Went down into the far country. Spent all that he had. And finally came to himself. He said, I know what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to get up and go to the Father's house. He said, how many of my father's hired servants have more than enough to eat? And he said, I perish in this country. He said, I don't know what to do. I'll just get up and go and tell my father I've sinned. Make me one of the hired servants. But before he ever got to the house, there was the father with outstretched arms waiting. And he didn't wait on him. When he saw him, he ran to meet him. Oh, I'm glad that any sinner that comes to Christ, God will run to meet him, ladies and gentlemen. God wants you to be saved worse than you want to be saved. But here's what a point I want to make. That father said, I want you to go get a good robe and put on him the best we got. Put a ring on his finger and shoes on his feet. And said, kill the fatted calf. And here's the reason why he wanted to do all that. He said, bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. Let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost. And is found. I'm going to tell you, we ought to have a song and a spirit about us because of the day, hey, we were lost, but there came a day that Christ found you and I. Somebody said, oh, I found him in a pig's eye, bud. Ain't no sinner ever found him. Start with you, don't know where to look. Somebody said, I know where to look, Calvary. You don't know to look to Calvary. Somebody tells you to look there. Now, I know a whole lot of people ain't looking there. A whole lot of them folks in foreign countries today in total darkness. They're not looking to Calvary. But he said, to kill the fatted calf and let's make merry. They had a song. They had a spirit. And I'm going to tell you why. Because the sinner had been found. He was lost, but he had been found. Ladies and gentlemen, if we've been found, there's no reason this morning that we oughtn't have a song in our heart.
Amen.
There's no reason that we oughtn't have the Spirit of God and His power resting upon us. And there's no reason that we ought not to be rejoicing.
Amen.
Because the life that was lost, the life. Did you get a hold of what I said? The life that was lost.
Amen.
He found it. I don't think a lot of people understand that. That your life was lost. What you are now, there was a time when you weren't. It's because that life of yours was lost. And I'm going to tell you something. You didn't know where it was at to find it. But at Calvary, you lost it. Then turn right around and found it. Talking about the real life. Praise God. Hey, 2 seconds in the presence of Christ is worth more than 50 million lifetimes in this world without Him. Did you read what I put in the bulletin this morning? That verse of Scripture. How that ought to turn our heart. Reproach, he said, hath broken my heart. Now I'm full of heaviness. Now I look for some to take pity, but there was none. And for comforters. But I found none. I want to ask you something, Lord. Does that not touch you? Has any more tender words ever been spoken? In those words. That shows the vicarious sufferings of Christ.
Amen.
how he suffered for you and I. He had no comforter, but yet he became our comforter. Nobody pitied him, and yet his eye pities us.
Amen.
And it's time we woke up to that. Crossroads. We're going to take the left hand or right hand. And I started to say this a while ago, and I failed to mention it, but I won't say it when I'm talking about discouragement. Do you realize that? What city was it? In Pilgrim's Progress, one of the cities was just a little ways from the sluge of despair and despondency. I can't remember what city it was, but it wasn't far off. And I'm going to tell you something. There's no man saved by the grace of God that's too far away from despair. Well, we better cleave unto Christ. That's right. Cleave unto Christ. Brother Steve will tell me what city that was after the service. He won't tell me. He studied Pilgrim's Progress more than I have, probably. But we don't want to lose it. If we've lost it, we better find it. And we can, with God's help. Let's stand together.